Coming up on Golf Today, madness not just reserved for hoops. A playoff at the Paintbrush ended with Sam Burns making a snake on the snake pit. Another victory for the 25-year-old and a notice to the PGA Tour. I'm the best out here right now. Come catch me. And life for Damon and I the last few days have been all brackets all the time. Our team's advanced in hoops. But what about brackets for the Dell? They're out. We'll break them down with some reporting out of Austin from our own Todd Lewis. And Mr. Kevin Kisner will join the program to chat about this week, this format, what makes someone a great match play player, and we'll play an old game of hobby or no hobby, bear down and go Bruins. It's a Golf Today Monday.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
A Monday edition of Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Shane Bacon. What a busy and crazy weekend in sports. Good news if your hoops brackets are busted, you got a chance for a redo. We got the match play in Austin, Texas.
We got brackets out, making
you
notes.
Believe? I got
some
notes.
Information down. Before we get into the match play, though.
What you got?
I mean, last night.
Congratulations.
Arizona.
You bared down.
TCU. Stressful. Late on the East Coast. I mean, I'm staying up till midnight or later to watch the end of that basketball game. I was very nervous, D, that we were going to be sitting up here praising your UCLA Bruins.
As
took
you
care
should.
Of business.
Thank you.
And I was going to be sitting here talking about my number one seed falling early in the tournament. But that's not the case. TCU, very good basketball team.
Very good team. But Benedict, for you guys, really stepped up at the end. And how about that buzzer? Almost had it, you know, right at the buzzer. You saw the frame of the backboard.
He held it
a little too long. You know, in the old days, would have finger rolled. Irvin would have finger
rolled. That would have worked. Mention brackets out. You want to get to a few of them? See who will be playing whom in this version of the Dell Technologies match play. One of the most unique weeks of the year on the PGA Tour. John Rahm, Patrick Reed, thank you very much. Get your popcorn ready. Cam Young, Sebastian Munoz, that rounds out group number one. You see Colin Morikawa there in group two, D.
Rahm, he was a runner-up to DJ back in 2017. Some strong names, as you know. Sergio Garcia, what a match play, dominant player he's been through the years. Group three, Victor Hovland, someone you think could be the number one player in the world at the end of 2022 is currently the world number three.
Yeah, group two is kind of my compression group. They can really smash the irons down, get a lot out of them. You see group number one, it's kind of we're here to work, guys. We're not going to be doing a ton of social media.
No TikTok.
We're here to play. We're here to play a little bit of golf. Of course, we got more groups that will face off this week starting on Wednesday, D. You see Scottie Scheffler, Fitzpatrick. This is kind of the Kohler committee, if you will. All four of those at the Ryder Cup last season.
Yeah, they sure were. Three Englishmen in Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, and Poulter. You see group six, Justin Thomas coming off of a strong week outside of Tampa. Didn't get the win. Kevin Kisner, we have a past champ chat with him. He, of course, won in 2019.
Group eight, the DM group. I mean, you know, Max is on social media here, and you got Dustin Johnson, a whole bunch of M's there.
Okay.
It's always going to be a DM playing at some point. You know, you DM somebody on social. That's group eight, kind of the DM group. You're looking at Xander as well. Out there with Tony Finau, it's kind of been a surprising year for Tony Finau.
Xander under consideration for my one and done. Let's look at group number nine, Bryson DeChambeau. I've not seen him since that WD in Saudi. Lee West was kind of a fixture. Richard Bland, though, what a nice year he had last year.
Group nine in general is kind of this should be 2021 group.
I mean,
think about what they did in 2021 across the board there in group nine.
How about group 11, though? My eye
Crazy.
Goes to four major champs, three former world number ones in Spieth, Scott, and Rose. And don't sleep on Keegan, who won the 2011 PGA Championship. Playing well of late, had a nice run a couple weeks ago with the Players.
Yeah, played back-to-back great weeks at Bay Hill and the Players as well. And, of course, you see their group 12, Billy Horschel, always great at match play. And that seems like a group he could get out of when you're kind of looking at who will advance. Group 13, I'm going to say it, watch out 7-irons. You can see a snapped 7-iron out of group 13. A
lot of, energy, kind of highly tightly wound players, perhaps. Even Siwoo runs a little hot, doesn't he?
He snapped an iron on the 17th at Pebble earlier this year.
I look at group 14, Kevin Na. Haven't seen much of him of late. Maverick McNealy, kind of a late add. More on that in a little bit.
In group 16, you see Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, Varner, Van Rooyen. Not messing with that group 16. No, thank you.
For more on the news of the day, welcome in Todd Lewis from Austin Country Club. T. Lou great to see you. We just saw the release of the brackets, and you've got your eye on Bryson DeChambeau. What's the latest with Big Bryson?
Well, you mentioned the fact that he went to Saudi Arabia. He did not play that tournament, officially pulling out. He withdrew. He hasn't played on the PGA Tour since the Farmers Insurance Open. He has been bothered, and he's been public about it, with a hip issue and a wrist/hand issue that has really bothered him for quite a while. As a matter of fact, he just started hitting drivers last week, last Thursday specifically. That's the first time he's been hitting driver in 6 weeks. That hand and that hip has been bothering him so much. So he's coming here to Austin, Texas, kind of looking for some form. He hasn't practiced quite often, and so this is a little bit of a dipping my toe into the competitive waters to see where his game at, and more importantly, where his body is. If you look at that pool that he is in, it's quite interesting. You mentioned the fact that here he is, Bryson trying to find his game, but other players in that group, Taylor Gooch, he's played here only once, that coming last year. He didn't win a match. Lee Westwood has a losing record in this championship, and Richard Bland has never played in this championship, so this is his first appearance. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that group, because all those guys, you know, they have okay form right now. Maybe Gooch may be the best player out of those four heading into this championship, considering he played pretty well at Bay Hill. But again, Bryson DeChambeau is dipping his toe into the competitive waters. If he comes out of that group, he'll still continue to play. Let's not forget, if you win this championship, that's 7 matches. You potentially could be playing 126 holes of golf, so his body could get a test here this week. And if he feels good after this week, there's a chance he may play next week in San Antonio.
Todd, of course, questions surrounding Bryson DeChambeau. No questions about Sam Burns' golf game right now. He has played incredibly well. What can you tell us about Sam Burns this week at the Match Play?
Yeah, top 10 in the world, picks up his second victory at the Valspar, his third overall PGA Tour victory, and he's been quite a consistent player, and he feels very confident as where his game is right now, and of course he would like to take what he had in Tampa to Augusta National. He has had some on and off issues with his back, and so that's the primary reason that he has decided to pull out of the WGC Dell Technologies Championship, because he wants to make sure that his back is healthy and ready to go for the Masters. He is likely to make a recon trip to Augusta National to see the golf course prior to competition, but he has decided to play, not to play rather, this week nor in San Antonio next week, and just kind of ramp up and take some rest into Augusta National for the Masters.
Todd Lewis on the ground for us at Austin Country Club, breaking down the brackets. Much more from him in the next hour. So, Shane, let's take a look at the format for the week. You know, rounds 1 through 3, Wednesday through Friday. You got 32 matches each day. And then as you roll into the weekend, you get into that single elimination, start to see some tension. 8 matches, 16 players. The quarters on Saturday afternoon. And the semifinals on Sunday morning. 2 matches, 4 players. It's going to be a lot of fun as the tension begins to build.
Would you like some trends?
How about some trends?
Got recent trends here. Okay. 3 multiple winners. Tiger, of course, Jason Day, Jeff Ogilvy. Top 10 overall seeds have won 9 of the last 14. Defending champions have made quarterfinals 5 times. Nice to get into the formatting and how you can play match play. 2018 champ Kevin Kisner, only runner-up to win the following year, made the finals in 2018, won it in 2019. 2021, only one of the final 4 golfers seeded in the top 30, the winner, 32nd ranked Billy Horschel. And before we get into this match play, I just wanted your thoughts on Sam Burns. I mean, he's played such great golf, obviously coming off a victory on Sunday. Were you surprised to hear he's not playing this week?
I am surprised. Understandable if his back is an issue. He's played a lot of golf. Obviously had that long week at the Players, where so many players were suffering, at least from an emotional, you know, trying to keep it all in the fairway together. But it sounds like it's more than just a mental thing. There, obviously, when you're in contention, when you're winning golf tournaments, that takes a lot out of you. But there's obviously a physical component as well. But I am surprised, considering this is a WGC. This was part of the PGA Tour's push to have all of the best players in the world outside of the majors meet on one stage. He's a top 64 player, now a top 10 player, an opportunity for him to continue to burnish his fantastic season. Someone who's, what, 2nd in the President's Cup standings for the United States, 2nd in the FedEx Cup standings. So I'm surprised that he would take the week off, considering it's free cash, free FedEx Cup points, and a chance to have an even greater year. But if it's about protecting his body, and if it's about looking toward the first major championship of the year, only Sam Burns knows what his body is going through.
think about Bay Hill, and you think about how difficult it was those last couple days at the API. I mean, playing in really, really tough conditions. You think about the players and how long that week was, and then you get yourself right back in contention at one of the sneaky toughest golf tournaments and golf courses of the year. I would have liked to see him just continue the momentum, because sure, I think match play is a place that if you're playing great golf, you really can run through this bracket. Yeah. I mean, you can have a couple of bad swings and still win 3-2 and 5-4 and things like that. I'm a surprised in that regard. But what this does tell me about Sam Burns, I know we're going to talk about him in just a bit in terms of the victory. What it tells me about Sam Burns is Sam Burns thinks he can win the Masters. Mm. He really thinks he can go out there and win at Augusta National. So that focus shifts now to Augusta National, and unfortunately the match play is the event that's going to suffer from that.
I tell you what, I love this week because I think golf needs something different. It's much like we enjoy the WM Phoenix Open because it's a different energy. It's a different week, much like this one. I mean, I love the PGA Tour schedule as it is, obviously, but this is something different. We talk about the players in a different way. They go head-to-head. I miss the Wednesday single elimination. I miss the tension of seeing Tiger in jeopardy against a Nick O'Hearn or Phil Mickelson or Ernie Els. You know, there's a year about 20-some years ago where all the number ones were gone after the first day. Not great for TV. Not great for the sponsors, I understand. But the tension, I mean, we see it in the NCAAs. I kind of miss that aspect. That said, I think we have some fantastic groups to talk about, and I just love that this is a different style of week than we see week to week on the PGA Tour.
I'm with you on the format. We're going to ask Kevin Kisner about that here in just a little bit on the format and which one he likes better, as someone that's obviously been very competitive in this event. Wednesday's that day that you can really own it. You think about Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament and how excited it is. So many games on at the same time. You're seeing buzzer beaters and you're seeing moments happen. And that's what Wednesday really felt like before we got into this round robin thing. My one push, if I was someone that the PGA Tour was calling about this, is don't be scared of the 64 best players in golf, because that's what you're getting. And you can't fear a matchup that's not 1-2. You can't fear a matchup that's not the number 2 ranked player in the world versus the number 5 ranked player in the world. You've got to accept what happens in match play. I understand the reasoning to move it to round robin format, and I get that we see a lot more golf in that regard, but I love the fact that you'd be on the ropes when you're one of the best players in the world playing someone that we don't know a ton about. Kanaya be an example of that. You know, Kanaya's playing a Rory McIlroy or a Justin Thomas, and all of a sudden Justin Thomas is 2 down with 3 to play, and you go, he's actually going to get bumped on Wednesday.
This is an important week, I feel, and this is part of, that's not a problem, it's an embarrassment of riches that the PGA Tour has, that a Rory McIlroy can say, I'm not going to play this week, and Sam Burns can say, you know what, I just won, I want to rest up for the Masters. But I think a WGC is one of those events that the Tour has to do a better job maybe of protecting, and I don't know how you do that when you have a schedule that's already chock full, and you know, you have the players, which is so important, and you have 4 WGCs typically, you know, outside of a COVID year, for example. How do you protect an event that is so unique and so different, and that the best players in the world are all supposed to be there and should be clamoring to be there and should be doing everything they can by hook or by crook to be there to try to win a prestigious event?
Yeah, when you lose some of the big names, I think that's the time where you go to somebody like Rory McIlroy, who is so impactful on the PGA Tour.
He's won this event, by the way.
He's won this event, and is such a person that we listen to about ideas, and he's a guy that looks so far ahead in terms of these things. And just ask him, why are you not wanting to play in this? Why are you skipping this event? Because it's Austin, Texas, one of the great cities in America. It's an unreal golf course, one of the most fun golf courses to watch, and it's really, really good for match play. Mm. And as we've said, it's one of our favorite weeks of the year on the PGA Tour because it's so different. Mm. And I'm with you. Finding a place on the schedule where everybody shows up and is excited to show up, and whatever that format might look like, is important. But I'm excited to watch what happens. And, you know, if you miss out on this event, you're missing out. We're still going to watch it. We got some great groups as well.
Pretty cool match play golf course as well. And great food town, Austin, would you say? And great music as well.
Yeah, they have music there, I heard.
They do. Yeah, absolutely. Keep Austin weird. How about Sam Burns? Just talked about him. Hot play continued over the weekend. He successfully defended his title at the Valspar, becoming the 4th multiple winner of the season. We got highlights when Golf Today returns. Like the song, too.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Wind Grips, the best grips in golf. And Bushnell Golf and the New Wingman, crank up your game. And by Cobra LTDX drivers, engineered for the longest total distance.
Always nice to do a little flashback on a Monday. 2014, Sam Burns, Davis Riley were teammates on the U.S. Junior Ryder Cup team. This is very cool. Now I'm preparing you for something that you're about to watch here that might be considered less cool.
I'd go uncool.
So this is I mean, again, listen, everybody's got to be doing something. There's cameras everywhere. This was, they called it the birdie dance. We're just finding out about this. Brad Dahlke also involved in this. I don't know, how much can you pay to scrub a video from the internet? How much does that cost me?
So bad it's good.
That's right, there you go. That's a nice way to put it. Let's watch them do things that is actually coordinated. Here is Sam Burns.
Goodness.
A day ago, the fifth hole, the par five, third shot from the greenside bunker. Oh yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, setting the tone. I mean, just the player we talked about last week, not a lot of weaknesses in Sam Burns' game.
Trying to think of what time today I'll stop thinking about that dance video.
Yeah.
6 p.m. today, you think I'll be done thinking about it? Maybe tonight?
Yeah, I'll think a little later than that.
This was Davis Riley.
Yeah, this was tough. I mean, this got the attention of social media, kind of the wheels falling off a little bit for this young man. Never in this position before. And people say, well, I can relate to that. You know, things seem to be speeding up for the young man. He said, you know what, I hit a bad shot there, and then it was a cluster, I think.
Yeah, felt very Vandevellian, even though it was on the front nine. Here's Davis Riley. So that was the bad, and then he starts to do the good, a chip in there at the par three, gets him to 16 under par. Good fist bumper, by the way.
Yeah, and you love seeing the bounce back. That's what I hope he takes away from the week, is how he bounced back from that triple. Now, this is Sam Burns again, just showing all sorts of skill. Hits the ball a long way, outdrove JT on a par five, but also showing the short game skill as well.
Now 12, yeah. I mean, the putting, putts with speed, putts with confidence. I mean, he's just really solid across the board. Plays quickly. I mean, it doesn't look like he's got a lot of thoughts in his head when he's playing. Here at the 17th, a par three. Not in a great spot there, as you see.
Yeah.
Coming up a bit short.
And admitted that he hadn't been playing that well. He got his coach to come by early in the week just to work on some things and want to kind of too much tweak, but just tighten things up, get back to the fundamentals of Sam Burns golf.
Oh, show me this shot on repeat for the rest of the days. Davis Riley, 17th, really needed to make a birdie on the last two holes, and he does that. One of the best of the day to 6 feet. Trying to win for the first time on the PGA Tour, and he hits that shot on the 71st hole.
Yeah, five was a low light, 17 a highlight for the young man. With Alabama. This is Sam Burns. 18th hole, par four, birdie putt from 18 feet. He just misses, was trying to post 18, so he posts 17 under.
So Davis Riley, a putt to win. What you dream of, this is what you spend all the time on the putting green when you're a kid. You're playing for Coca-Cola's or Dr. Pepper's or $5, and then you miss it, and you go, okay, now I got to regroup because I got to go play one of the best in the world in a playoff.
Yeah.
A little history, LSU, Alabama history, or no?
Pretty cool across the sports, SEC, football, hoops, you name it. So this is first playoff hole. You like the fact it was 18 first.
Oh, so smart. Shout out to the Valspar.
Okay.
Shout out to this tournament. Thinking a little outside the box. They've got three-hole stretch that they promote all the time.
Yes.
You play 18, and then you go to the snake pit.
Go to 16, the second playoff hole. Sam Burns, 32 feet away from birdie. And the reaction. He said he was conserving energy all day, and at that point, finally able to let it go.
What a putt. One of the putts of the year to this point. So a must make for Riley. Tough spot to be in. Gave it a run. It was going to be Sam Burns' week, man. That was incredible stuff in the playoff. The way he finished it out, the bogey putt on 17 in regulation, just all of that coming together. Even the approach there on the 72nd hole, I mean, hitting it past the hole to 15, 20 feet, giving yourself that opportunity to make the birdie.
Yeah, played it like a smart player, not panicking. You see his world ranking. You know, this is someone we saw paired with Tiger Woods at the Honda a few years back. Saw the crowd and said, hey, Tiger, all these guys came to see me showing a little personality, but I tell you what, it has been one steady march, the young man from LSU.
And you see ranked 10th in the world now. Damon, we sat here last week and we were talking about where the PGA Tour needs to go right now. What do we need to see as we're getting closer and closer to the first major of the year? And you and I were asking for superstars. We're asking for Brooks Koepka to show up and Justin Thomas to show up and Rory and Jordan Spieth. We'd like to see a little bit of the star power involved. I think we forgot that Sam Burns is that star power.
Yeah.
What he's been able to do the last 12 months, he has proved and shown that he's one of the best in the world. The world ranking now says that as well, as he's 10th in the world. But this guy is proving to everybody that he deserves a spot next to those names that we talk about.
So much to appreciate about Sam Burns, and not just his game, but look who's behind him now.
Right.
On the official world golf ranking. Wait, DJ? Wait, Hideki, didn't he just win the Masters? Bryson, Louis, Spieth, Horschel, Hatton, Neiman, answered. Yeah, some of these players are talking about major championship players, World Golf Hall of Fame members in the future. But Sam Burns is showing that he has the game,
yep,
not just to match, but on certain weeks to exceed them. And I was fascinated seeing him alongside Justin Thomas, we're going to talk about in the next segment. Seeing him at times outdrive JT, hits the ball a long way. In the top 10 categories, he's fourth strokes gained tee to green last week, third strokes gained approach, first strokes gained total, eighth strokes gained putting last week. As I said last week, no weaknesses in his game across the board. Doesn't emote much, doesn't have a big personality, but he's someone who we're seeing continue to make leaps and steps in his game. Steady, steady, and now a top 10 player in the world, another box checked.
Above those names, in other sports, you always say scoreboard, right? Mm. Scoreboard tells the story. The stats tell the story, and the world rankings tell who's playing the best golf right now. And right now, it's Sam Burns, and he's been so impressive. I cannot wait till we get to Augusta National, see what he can do at that major championship with all the pressure in the world and obviously the expectations now following it. But I want to go back to one moment on Sunday, the moment that really stood out to me, because we love seeing guys hit three woods from 270 to 3 feet into 5 feet and make eagles and make long birdie putts.
From Phil to JT.
That's right.
Not too bad. His last six starts on tour. I mean, buddy, you're saying big things, and he's playing well. No victories, yes, but we're starting to see JT put the pieces together. And it's not just the starts. It seems like he feels that way as well. He went on social media and said, hey, thanks for all the support this week in Tampa. Great things are coming. Patience, patience, patience. A lot of exclamation points onward and upward. So what makes you say what you say, Mr. Bacon?
The putting is improving. He had a bad first-round putting this past week, and it improved each and every round. I just feel like he's trending in the right direction. His shot-making ability is so impressive, D, and the pitching is so great. Even that one on the 72nd hole to try to get it up and down for par, it's just the distance control. It's special, special stuff. I need someone to be playing in form. I need someone to be going to a place that they feel like they should win. I feel like JT has trended in this direction. Look at this, 10th off the tee, first in tee to green, second approach, and 19th in putting, and that includes 117th in round one.
Yeah.
In round one. So this is a guy that, again, it comes down to the flat stick for Justin Thomas, but we're getting to a point where I feel like he's more and more comfortable with the putter.
Felt a little bit like Tiger back in the day, building towards something. And I love that you're going to go ahead and, you know, maybe put the cart before the horse a little bit, but I like that. Maybe you'll be looking the week after the Masters and saying, see what I told you. This is someone who's also trending in the right direction at Augusta National. Finished fourth in 20.
Right.
Finished tied for 21st a year ago. You think about the skill set that he has with the wedges. I'm also intrigued with the guy who's carrying the bag, in Jim Bones McKay, who's been a part and parcel of three Green Jackets with Phil Mickelson, and how much that golf course is about knowledge and angles and wedges and lag putting and things that Bones has seen and things that Justin Thomas can do. I'm not ready to go there with you yet and say he's going to be the Masters champ come Sunday night a couple weeks from now, but I do think he's going in the right direction. And I think that patience word is very important because he has been a little bit impatient.
Right.
Talking about how angry he is being number seven in the world. Was it pissed off? Was that what he said? Can I say that on television? I guess I just did. But he's being very honest with how raw he feels that he's not the best player in the world. Can he live to that statement? Be patient when he's pressing so hard to be the best player in the world.
I find it very interesting to watch the players these days and how straight they hit their tee balls and how it doesn't move much and deviate. And JT does have that old school nature of being able to hit the swinging hook, and that is a shot you have to have at Augusta National. Let's not look past the match play either. I mean, I feel like JT's got a great chance this week to advance through. Now, he's got a really, really tough group when you dive into who he'll be playing. I mean, you got Kisner, who is so good at match play. You got Leishman, who I think I'm picking this week.
Ooh.
Get into that a little later in the show. Luke List has played solid golf this year as well. So it's going to be a tough group to get out of. If JT can get out of it right now with the way he's playing and how comfortable he seems to be on this golf course, JT might just pick up a victory before we get to Augusta.
Yeah, I love the trend line that JT is showing. I just wonder if he can kind of stay patient and kind of stay out of his own way. Everything that you've mentioned that he's been doing well and being first in strokes gained tee to green, for example, I have zero questions about whether his skill set fits for Augusta National. How many players have we seen throughout history whose skill set was perfect for Augusta National? That golf tournament in particular is more about what's going on in here and about the roars that you hear and the ghost stories that are told and the heartbreak. I think it's the one tournament, as much as we talk about the victories and the wins, that golf tournament is also about the heartbreak and the players like Greg Norman and the players like Tom Weisskopf and the players that we've talked about that should have won and had the perfect skill set. Perhaps Rory McIlroy is working his way into that box and perhaps not. Maybe he'll have a different end to his story and chase for a career Grand Slam. But I have no concerns about JT in terms of the skill set. It's more about the patience and if you can actually put that into play.
There seems to be a tipping point with players at Augusta National. When you come in early and you're not going to win as a first-year player, right? I mean, we got to go back to Fuzzy Zeller since the last time we've seen that. But it takes a lot to get into that comfort zone. And then you're there for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and you start to wonder if I'll ever win this thing. And you mentioned some of those names. You got to add David Duvall and Ernie Els to that list as well. Great players that never donned a green jacket. And it's because you get to a point where maybe you don't really believe it at the end of it. Of course, you could point to Sergio Garcia and Adam Scott as players that got green jackets late in their careers. But JT seems to be in that perfect sweet spot right now where he has enough experience there to understand the golf course and what it asks, but he hasn't gone 12, 15, 20 years of playing the Masters and leaving disappointed.
Remember talking to Joe LaCava a few months ago about Fred Couples winning in 1992 and the fact that he leaned on the information given from Tom Watson playing practice rounds with Ray Floyd and watching, you know, Fred watch those players. And even LaCava told me, you know, Fred kind of has this, you know, the view of him being kind of like dumb like a fox, you know, like Fred doesn't say too much, doesn't want to answer his phone. But the bottom line is Fred Couples was paying close attention to how previous winners of the Masters played that golf course. Justin has the caddy, you know, carrying his bag. He has Tiger Woods on speed dial. No one's on speed dial these days anymore, but you know what I'm saying. He has the camp around him. I think it's all about being patient and not wanting it too much.
He's 30th on tour in three-putt avoidance, to your point about very, very important about lag putting and avoiding the three-putts. You can focus on the 100th in strokes gained putting, but, I mean, this guy's fourth in putting average. He's eighth in overall putting average. I mean, the putting stats are kind of back and forth with JT. I think the important part is we know what he's going to do, as you said, with the driver, with the fairway wood, and with the irons. And if the putter just shows up, I don't see how he's not hanging around on Saturday and Sunday.
JT, one of the big names at the Masters. JT, one of the big names this week in Austin, Texas. For more, we kick it down to Todd Lewis for more on JT.
Yeah, I've been listening to your conversation about Justin Thomas, and I do agree. He is trending right now. Speaking with him, he is a lot more confident with his game than he was last year, even though he was coming off a player's victory. If you talked to JT last year, he said it wasn't a great year. He even mentioned it may not have been a good year for him because he just wasn't consistent enough. Now, of course, his standards are very, very high. As we know, belief is the most precious commodity on the world's biggest stage, and JT may have lost some of that belief last year, but I feel like he's got a lot of it back right now, even though he is still searching for that first victory since the Players, and he should be a threat on that short list of favorites to win at the Masters. He actually told me once that Augusta National suits his eye and suits his game more than any other golf course on the schedule. But that's a couple of weeks away. Let's talk about this championship. He's in an interesting group in the fact that he's playing in the same group as Kevin Kisner, Mark Leishman, and Luke List. If you look at the history in this championship of that group, well, the most formidable player in that group is not Justin Thomas. He has an 8-10-1 record. It is, without a doubt, Kevin Kisner, who is 16-6-1 in this championship. He won here 3 years ago. He seems like a constant threat to get to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals. You're going to have Kevin Kisner on the show a little later, and I know you're going to ask him, why is he so great in this championship? Well, if you look at the stats, he's such a good putter, and his short game is so strong, and that can beat down an opponent as he continues to make clutch par putts and clutch birdie putts, because putting is a big key and a big key to success in match play. So Kevin Kisner and Justin Thomas, when they face each other, which will be on the third day of pool play, that's going to be a match to watch and something that I'm circling on that day as well, guys.
JT Kisner, much watch TV. That's Todd Lewis. We'll check back with you in just a bit. And, of course, Sam Burns, the victory on the weekend. What about winners that didn't win?
Oh, yeah.
Players that had a great week, but they just came up short.
No trophy.
No winners. You don't get a trophy, but you had a good week.
Okay.
We'll chat with that next.
Yeah.
know in hoops, Bill Raftery says, with the kiss.
Oh, yeah.
In golf, it's the kiz. And we got the kiz talking all things match play coming up in the second hour of Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Oh, man, am I happy I get to smile when you make basketball jokes. I thought for a moment last night I was not going to be smiling as much today. I'm happy the Wildcats got through. I'm happy your Bruins are through. We were just talking about opportunities here with 16 teams left. What do you see? What are you seeing from your UCLA Bruins?
I tell you, last year's run to the Final Four and losing to Gonzaga, we're already kind of match tough. Pete Sampras would say in tennis, you're match tough. We
right.
see it in golf, match play tough. I think the UCLA Bruins are match tough. I love, you know, Jaime Jaquez in the ankle. We got to make sure that that's healthy. But with Juzang, Tyler Campbell, Mick Cronin has us playing tough defense. Every loose ball is ours for the most part. The UCLA Bruin mentality, as I said on Twitter, I mean, hoops, it's what we do.
It's so good. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Arizona was a place that did hoops for a long time.
Fair.
We had a bit of a lull.
Yep.
I think we're back. This
yeah.
team's scary. I'm excited to see where they go. But you want to talk a little basketball from basketball
yes.
brackets to golf brackets?
I got my brackets. I'm very
got them
excited.
Right here. Let's pull them
play.
Up.
Okay.
We got to get our notes in front of us, for goodness sakes.
How about group one right off the bat? Rahm and Reed in the same group?
Exciting.
I mean, put a couple cameras on them, you
yes.
know? Let's,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
see what those guys are.
Multiple angles.
The shots that they hit, both major champs, both not afraid to back down.
Cameron Young, I'm calling maybe spoiler out of that. I can see Cameron Young coming out of that group, by the way. I mean, is there spoilers in this thing? Is that a thing?
You know, that's an excellent question.
Top 60, 70 players in the world, you know?
I mean, look at St. Peter's, baby. Anybody can beat anybody.
We got Morikawa going to go up against Kokrak, Sergio, Bobby Mack.
Oh, I mean, Bobby
that's
Mack.
A tough group to get out of, D.
That is. How about Hovland and Zalatoris? Cameron Tringali, one of the best without a win. Sepp Straka, I already checked that box. He got that win a couple
keep
of weeks ago.
Keep your eye on Sepp. Just keep your eye on
Sepp.
It. One eye on Sepp.
All right. How about groups 5 through 8? Talked about what you got called Kohler Club?
Yeah, yeah.
With the
Kohler Committee.
Scheffler Committee, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood.
You know, none of them played together. You see three on the European side, none
right.
of them played together that week.
Three Europeans, three Englishmen didn't play together. I tell you what, group six, JT.
You have your eye on group
Kisner.
Six.
I mean, I got Kisner still available in my one and done. I'm thinking about asking him. Kis, should I choose you in my one? I mean, I've covered him long enough. I think I could ask him that.
So you got DJ playing Max Homa, and the question being, will you be able to know who is who? Very similar looks.
Someone on the ground will get confused.
Yes.
Maybe a
wrong announcement.
Like a loose fan may say, hey, Max, no, I'm DJ.
I'm Dustin Johnson. Thank you. Bryson.
Okay.
Back in our lives on the golf course.
I tell you, he makes good TV. He makes our game more interesting. It does us no good when Bryson is on the shelf.
I agree with you.
Hopefully healthy, especially this time of year. So many big-time tournaments around the bend.
Group 11, you see Jordan Spieth in there. How important is Jordan Spieth to this tournament? I saw the WGC Dell Technologies Twitter account tweet out the announcement we've been waiting for when Spieth fully committed to this tournament. The fans come out. They want to see Jordan Spieth move through these brackets. I think he's got a decent chance to come out of Group 11.
I do, too. The golf course, you're going to miss some greens. You're going to have to scramble. Use your imagination. You think both Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler, who advanced all the way deep last year, you know, may have a chance to give those Longhorn fans a reason to smile.
Louis, the only things he likes more than mattresses and a tractor?
Yes.
Match play. Loves match play.
Smooth,
big fan of the format.
Clear. I got to get Justin Parsons on the phone, by the way. Justin, if you're listening, I'm going to send you a text. I got to do some Masters recon.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to ask you about Louis.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about Harris English as well.
Okay.
All right. So if you're listening, Justin, thank you. This is group 13 through 16. Tyrrell Hatton and Daniel Berger. I mean, that could get feisty.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are workman rounds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going out there and you're trying to do your job. Again, what does Kevin Kisner always say? It's not a hobby.
Mm.
Trying to play my golf, advance, move on, win my matches. It's important to move on this week.
Yeah, and group 16, Brooks Koepka a year ago wasn't even healthy. He was trying to, you know, read greens and squat down uncomfortably. So we'll see if Brooks can continue his road to good health in 2022. So, folks, right now we're joined once again by our man on the ground in Austin, Todd Lewis. We were talking about Scottie Scheffler. T. Lee, what do you have on the guy who went to the University of Texas?
You know, it would be hard-pressed to make an argument that Scottie Scheffler is not the favorite coming into this championship for a couple of reasons. Number one, he made his way to the finals last year. Yes, he did lose to Billy Horschel, but he came out of that group and beat some quality players. Jason Day, Xander Schauffele. He continued on through the bracket, beat John Rahm and Ian Poulter, who, of course, is, as he likes to say, a match play ninja, whatever that is. But still, he established a lot of confidence, and so much so that he got more confidence when he was picked by Steve Stricker as a U.S. Ryder Cup captain's pick. And at that moment, that was the turning point for Scottie Scheffler. I had a conversation with him not too long ago. He said being picked by Strix to be a part of the United States Ryder Cup team made him feel like, hey, I have arrived. He was embraced by all of his U.S. teammates, obviously, and he had a winning record at Whistling Straits as well. He played well in the fall, and then as the calendar turned, he obviously played very well, winning twice in three starts, winning in Scottsdale, and, of course, winning at Bay Hill on a very challenging, difficult layout. So, Scottie Scheffler, as you mentioned, Damon, went to the University of Texas. Not only does he know this golf course pretty well, he also knows where to get the best brisket in Austin. So, Scottie feels comfortable on this golf course, and he's comfortable with his game right now as well. Damon, before we talk a little more golf, I do want to go a little off script. I heard you talking about UCLA. Great program, and basketball is all they do, right? So, I grew up in North Carolina, was a Tar Heel fan. Who does North Carolina play next?
Yeah,
UCLA. Yeah. I don't know if you want to just mark that down as a win. We just beat the national champions. Yeah. But you know what? I'd love a friendly wager.
Buddy,
you know, barbecue on my end, tacos on your end. What do you want to do?
I love it. I just want a bottle of wine from a good friend of mine, John, who went to St. Mary's, who may be watching right now. I'm happy to take some barbecue off of you. So let's do it right now for the folks watching at home. We have a wager.
All right.
You know, maybe Points Bet wants to throw something out there on our behalf. They can. I'm ready, T. Lou.
All right. Eastern barbecue.
Okay. Fish tacos?
Against tacos. I'd like some, Southern California chicken tacos.
Deal.
We got that?
Done.
Great bet.
Done. Love it.
That's the kind of bet you want.
I'm ready. T. Lou, we will get back to you, and we'll make sure that he pays that bet next weekend. What are your thoughts on what we're seeing? Scottie Scheffler. I mean, we're talking about all these young players and how hard it is to win. I think that's an understatement. I mean, this guy has a couple of wins and three starts. He's back in a place where he just went to the finals a year ago. It is hard to win on the PGA Tour. I don't think we can't say it enough how good this young crop of talent is. And Scottie Scheffler, to me, epitomizes that.
I mean, we're looking at automatic qualifiers currently for the United States President's Cup team. Five of the six players in their 20s, very young players. You look at the official world golf rankings right now, D, it is youth, youth, youth. You think about what happened in women's golf over the last few years and how young it has gotten in terms of the superstars. And it feels like that's really bled into the men's side of things as well. And we are living in a world right now where 21, 22, 23-year-olds can dominate professional golf. It's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, there are some veterans that from time to time have something to say about getting those W's.
Let's go back.
2019?
Yeah, let's go back in time.
This is Kiz, just 1 year after losing in the final of the WGC Dell Technologies match play. Kevin Kisner got his redemption, closed out Matt Kuchar, 3-2 with a birdie putt on the 16th green to secure the biggest victory of his career to date. The win marked Kisner's third on the PGA Tour following that 2015 RSM in 2017 Colonial. So it's time for a past champ chat.
We got Kevin Kisner on the line right here.
Kiz.
See him smiling. Kiz, we appreciate the time. I mean, you're an awesome match play player, obviously making the finals in 18, winning in 19. In your opinion, Kevin Kisner's mind, what makes a good match play player?
To be honest, I think it's somebody that's scrappy, making putts that really matter, never being out of a hole, never giving one away easy, and really flipping the momentum, I think, is huge in match play. So as soon as your opponent thinks they have an easy win, if you can pull a shot off to either have the hole or somehow sneak out a victory, it really just demoralizes them.
Kiz, can you improve a match play mentality, improve on being a great match play player, or are you kind of born with that mentality?
I think you can probably get better at it the more you play, but I just enjoy beating people one-on-one. It seems a lot easier to beat one guy than 155. So when you know what you have to do, that's kind of what I strive for, is having the ball in my court. So this kind of format really piques my interest.
I wanted to ask you about the format. Do you like the format that currently exists? It's more of a round robin early in the week, or did you like it when it was you lose, you're gone?
I would rather go lose, you're gone, just for the sake of scheduling. This is my fourth week on the road, Masters coming up. But I understand from a sponsor standpoint, you know, get Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and whoever else out here that in the last few years at losing the first round, and all the people don't want to come out and watch anymore. So they don't really want to watch kids playing Luke List on the third round. So I get it from a spectator standpoint, a sponsor standpoint, but I think we're going to roll with this format for the future.
All right, kids. I love your honesty, by the way. You've chosen one of the toughest professions out there, pro golfer, and you've succeeded. You've thrived even. But you strike me as a guy who's never satisfied, and that's important for fuel, I imagine. At 38 years old, how would you assess your career so far?
Oh, D, if somebody would have told me I would accomplish all that I have when I was 22 or 23, I would have been blown away and taken it. So I think what drives me is the will to get better. I'm always trying to improve. And as I get older, trying to improve in a more efficient way that doesn't take as much time. So I feel great about my golf game. It's probably as consistent this year as it's been in forever. And looking forward to these twilight years of trying to compete with these young boys.
Kevin, we showed some of the highlights. 2018, you lose in the finals. 2019, you go on to win. What was the conversation internally as you got set for that championship match in 2019 after losing the prior year? Because, I mean, you get out there on Sunday and it's all even up and you're going, I got to take this one home now.
Yeah, I just remember we changed up the whole routine the year before going to that final match. You don't realize how tired you are. And I remember getting out to the range, trying to warm up, doing my full routine for that final match and just being dog tired by the time we teed off, and did it completely different in 19. We stayed in the locker room, got some treatment, basically walked out there, hit 7 or 8 balls and walked to the first tee and felt way more energized going to that final round. So you're always trying to figure out ways to do things better. And I think I kind of learned what helped me those 2 years back to back.
All right, kids, I've been covering the game for a while. As you know, I've seen you around the tour, so I'm comfortable asking you this. Man, I've got a one and done league. I got to burn one player and I can't use him again. Dude, you know, I've known you for a little while. Should I just pick you?
Man, this week's so hard. I could play unbelievable and be gone on Friday. So I tell people all the time, I get asked this question all the time. You can pick me at Hilton Head, Colonial, Travelers, Wyndham. Those are about where I have to make all my money. So figure it all out from one of those four.
Sounds like a pick me kind of play.
Yeah, same for Hilton Head. He's going to ball.
Just burn him somewhere. All right, we got a game for you. Obviously, you've made the whole ain't no hobby phrase famous. So we just wanted to throw some things at you and learn if it's a hobby or if it's not a hobby. Is fishing a hobby to Kevin Kisner?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. It is a hobby.
How about hunting?
Yes. Not a hobby.
Oh.
No. Hey, I've got one for you. Okay. Because this could help your brain. Okay. But it could also be a hobby.
It's not a hobby because I do it all the time as much as golf.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There you go. Right.
Almost
right.
A job. How about reading? Is reading a hobby? Is that something that somebody could call a hobby?
I can't get into that.
Okay.
All right. Well, how about Wordle? Are you one of those Wordle guys?
No, I'm afraid I'll get addicted, so I don't start those types of things.
Smart. Keep it out of your peripheral. What about hiking? You know, hiking's trendy right now. People love to go out and say they're hiking and they take Instagram photos, post it on their story. Is that a hobby, in your opinion?
I hike for a living, man.
It's well said. I got one. Pickleball. It's sweeping the nation.
Nah, man, break your ankles in that game.
Yeah, that's a hobby. I like playing that.
Oh,
you
don't realize you have beer.
How much of a workout it is.
And the beer afterwards, right? I mean, you're with me on that.
Absolutely.
See, okay. I don't know. When you can drink and play the sport, I'm just not sure I'd call it that. I understand where you guys are going here.
Oh,
but
it's fun.
But very interesting. Kev, we appreciate the time, my man. Good luck this week. And if you win this thing, Damon Hack is going to be very happy.
Let's go, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, kids. one of the best in the business. Folks, the Florida swing is officially in the books. We saw some surprises, some feel-good stories. Paige McKenzie, in a while, joins next with more on who will turn this stretch into a catapult for the rest of the season.
I like that. You're taking kids now?
I got to take
it. You got to do it.
Got to do it.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Zexio. Experience light, experience easy. Zexio, experience the difference. And Geico. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. And by Epson Tour, road to the LPGA.
And as we close the book on the 2022 Florida swing, we welcome in Paige McKenzie. Paige, great to see you. And we're going to start with biggest wins. Now, of course, we can focus on the players. We can focus on Bay Hill. There were some big wins on this Florida swing.
This was actually more difficult than I expected because you have a first-time winner in Straka. You've got Scheffler backing up his waste management win with a win again at Bay Hill, but you got to go Cam Smith and the win at the Players. Not only was it a huge paycheck, obviously great world ranking points, but in addition to that, it's how he got it done. Birdieing five of his first six holes, that tremendous shot on 17. There was just a level of poise, even through the stumble in the middle, that made that win, I think, even more significant based on how he won, not just that he won it.
Paige, you're an LPGA veteran. You know how hard it is to compete. You know the thrill of victory. You know the thrill of chasing it. We love the feel-good stories, the folks that just kind of grind and find a way, not necessarily to a trophy, but just a good moment. Your feel-good story of the Florida swing.
For me, it was Anirban Lahiri. When he finished runner-up at the Players, he conducted himself so well throughout the week, and in all of those pressure moments, he continued to perform, just came up a little bit short. But part of it was really, as a professional golfer, I can understand how difficult it can be. He's a former top 50 in the world, dropped outside the top 300. And what he said about it that week is, he said, when you go through such a lean period for such a long time, you start asking yourself, man, was that just a flash in the pan? What are you doing? You haven't played good in so long. Your belief takes a hit. So this, for me, when he finished runner-up, I'm going to re-cement my foundation and work upwards from here. And I think as a professional golfer, you know how difficult it is to go through those times. For him, there was a little bit of an equipment change that week that helped, but it's neat to see a player's hard work over the lean years pay off in a big event the way that this did.
Paige, this world doesn't give us many surprises anymore. Occasional birthday party, maybe if you don't know the gender of your upcoming child. Those are surprises in life. What was your biggest surprise from this Florida swing?
I don't know if this is as big as a gender reveal, but Sepp Straka winning at Honda. And not so much that he went on to win. Part of the story, of course, was Daniel Berger having a five-shot lead and not getting it done on Sunday. For the Florida boy, it seemed as though it was going to be a storybook ending for Berger, but in fact, it was Straka that walked away with the trophy. What also is interesting is how he got it done. For a player who is currently ranked 89th in strokes gained off the tee and 114th in fairways hit, he led the field that week in strokes gained off the tee. In fact, he only missed 9 fairways that week. So that may be the surprise. It's not so much that he won and how he won, and then again, that Berger also didn't get it done.
All right, there are stories that are headline stories, and there are stories that are kind of beyond the headlines. What's your beyond the headline story from the Florida swing?
For me, it was Billy Horschel. He had a great Florida swing in that he finished tied for 16th at Honda, finished runner-up at Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then he went to the Players and unfortunately had to withdraw due to illness halfway through the tournament. So for me, this is noteworthy as we start to focus towards Austin. Billy Horschel, the defending champion, is on quite a hot streak. Not only those two finishes in Florida, but previously the two finishes prior to that were a T11, a tied for 11th, and a tied for 6th. So Billy Horschel quite a hot streak right now, coming into defending his title at the match play.
Well, the Golf Today college basketball grouping right now has a lot of momentum, Paige. Who's going to take momentum from the Florida swing into the rest of the season, in your opinion?
For me, it's Adam Hadwin. Coming off of two really good weeks, a strong finish at the Players, a tie for ninth, as well as another top 10 at Valspar. So I'm looking at him thinking, how can he parlay what he did so well in Florida into the next? And he was asked, what is the best part of your game right now? And most players, they'll give you the physical aspect of it. They'll say, you know what, my irons have been great, I'm driving the ball well, putter's finally starting to heat up. Adam Hadwin's response when he was asked that question was my mind. He said he's figuring out what comes first, chicken or egg, whether it's good mentality or good golf, or good golf that leads into good mentality. But he said, I'm so much more relaxed over shots right now. So to me, when a player starts to tell you the best part of their game is their mental game, I'm paying attention. So I think this last couple of weeks might parlay into something bigger for him down the road.
Love that. Paige McKenzie putting a bow on the Florida swing. Great catching up with you. LPGA heating up. Look forward to talking to you soon, Paige. Thanks so much.
Likewise, guys.
All right, our own Paige McKenzie. Now, the first men's major, couple of weeks away. It's called the Masters Tournament.
Right, and you see Justin Thomas plus 1,200.
Is that since you claimed him the victor?
I think the line's been moving
it's been moving a lot
since I mentioned it.
But John Rahm, unmovable.
It's okay. That's fine.
Immovable.
Top-ranked player in the world.
Invulnerable. Still the favorite. Still the one. So from chalk to some match play Cinderellas, you know? Who will
the Hoagie Man
slipper fit in Austin? Hoagie?
Oh, potentially.
Would Hoagie serve Hoagies if he won the Masters?
I think he should. I'm going to tell you that Hoagie's having a year.
Having a year. Spieth respects him very much.
Who doesn't? Oh, Austin, Texas. Early NCAA memory for me, by the way, watching Bryce Drew and Valpo win that game, that famed three-pointer
he hit. You were at that game?
I was watching at the Drum. I mean, it was just, that was back in the day, in my high school and days.
So remember that shot.
We, of course, have match play this week in golf, WGC Dell Technologies. Just to look at the format, kind of remind everybody, rounds 1 through 3, Wednesday through Friday, group play, 32 matches every single day, a lot of golf. You get to round 4 Saturday. Single elimination.
Yeah.
You win or you depart. And quarterfinals are on Saturday afternoon. You got semis Sunday morning. Finals. So excited. What a great event.
It's a fantastic event. Cannot wait. And I believe our own Todd Lewis is still, he's been working for us hard all day on this Monday. We've talked about, you know, some of the great players and the headline players the folks should pay attention to. How about some long shots, T. Lou, some Cinderellas?
I got one for you. Let's go to Keegan Bradley, who is playing in group 11. He's also in that group with Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott, and Justin Rose. And if you look at those players, not to say that those other three players in that group are playing poorly, but Keegan Bradley may be arriving in Austin pretty much trending right now. If you look at what he did at the Players, he finished 5th at the Players under tough conditions. And the week prior, he finished 11th at Bay Hill, which, again, was set up very, very difficultly. So I like how Keegan Bradley is trending right now. I talked to his mental coach, Mo Pickens, and he says he's trying to simplify things on the golf course. He's trying to eliminate expectations, which can be a definite burden for players. And Keegan Bradley seems to be in a good frame of mind. His golf game, like I mentioned, is trending in a positive direction. He might be the St. Peter's of this championship here in Austin. If there's another guy I like, and this guy's not St. Peter's, but he might be like a Miami, who you didn't expect to go very deep in the tournament, but is, keep an eye on Harold Varner III. Harold, at the Players' Championship, finished tied for 6th, and that secured him a spot inside the top 50 in the official world golf ranking, which means he is going to play the Masters for the very first time in his career. He is super excited about that. Also, combine the fact that he won in Saudi Arabia with that dramatic, just about miracle putt on the 72nd hole to get that victory there. Harold arrives here loose, without expectations, but excited the way his game is playing right now. I like Harold Varner to have a pretty good week, too, out of that group.
Keegan, Harold Varner.
Wow. Those are
good, good picks from Todd Lewis, who is, I think, is going to win this bet, by the way. No offense there, D-Hat.
Seriously?
UNC sneaky. We're back on golf today. So is the LPGA this week. The women return to action in Carlsbad, California.
Yes.
The JTBC Classic presented by Barbasol, where Enby Park, the defending champion, 21st LPGA victory last year. That is a cool trophy.
Really is a good one. I love this time of year. Take a look at who's in the race to the CME Globe. Always something to play for, a little positioning. Daniel Kang out front. What a start to 2022.
This is the year. This is describing the year. Look at that. Danielle, Brooke, Leona.
It's an LPGA leaderboard right here.
So good.
The best players continuing to stand up. Let their voices be heard.
It's that time to welcome in Golf Week's senior writer, Beth Ann Nichols, one of our favorites. Always read Beth Ann if you can. And Beth Ann, the LPGA is back. But I want to start with world number two, Nelly Korda. A scary situation with a blood clot in her arm. What's the latest you can tell us on Nelly?
Yeah, it's definitely a scary situation. And Nelly will not be playing this week at the JTBC, which I think we all expected her to in Carlsbad. So she has until tomorrow, end of day, to basically sign up and secure her spot in the Chevron Championship. So as of now, she's not listed on the website in terms of the entry list. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Of course, we wish her the best. Health comes first. But this is a player who finished in the top three the past 2 years at the Chevron, and I can't imagine how disappointed she'd be if she didn't get one more shot at it.
Yeah, everyone wishing Nelly a speedy recovery. And Beth Ann, we always hear that great golf is temporary. You know, the renters, you're not an owners. But any reason why Jin Young Ko won't just keep playing at this incredibly high level?
I see no reason to bet against her, David. I mean, this is the player who's well rested more than anyone on tour, right? She comes out, she plays in one event in Singapore, she wins, and she takes another few weeks off. So, and she's coming back to a place. This will be her first tournament of the year in the United States this week in Carlsbad, and she's practiced so much in California over the winter time that this is a sweet spot for her, especially when she gets to the desert, because that's really where she spent the bulk of her time over the winter months. So I see no reason that she won't be firing on all cylinders.
Beth Ann, this is the first week that we're going to see Brooke Henderson using a shorter driver per local rules. Just wondering how that might affect her game.
You know, it's interesting. Right up until the finish, she kept that 48-inch driver in play. And she actually said, you know, in Singapore, you know, kind of if it comes to this. So I think obviously, she was hoping that it wouldn't come to this because this is the Brooke Henderson rule. She's the only one impacted. And, of course, she's chokes down on all of her clubs. So I can't imagine that she's going to do that on her driver anymore. She, you know, ranks 102nd in accuracy. That's pretty down for her from where she typically is. She's one of the best drivers of the golf ball on tour in terms of distance and how straight she hits it. But you would assume that she'd find more fairways with a shorter driver. But, you know, who knows how much distance she's actually going to lose, because, you know, we all love to see Brooke Henderson go for par fives and two with driver off the deck. So as long as we get to keep seeing that, you know, I think she'll be okay.
She's a dynamic player, Beth Ann, as you know. You know, it's the last year of the Chevron at Mission Hills. What are your thoughts as the tour prepares for the season's first major?
You know, I think to truly appreciate what's happening now with this last lap around the Dinosaur Tournament course, it's important to look back to where it started, right, in 1972. And at that point, you know, and to put it in modern day terms, that event was like the CME Group Tour Championship is now for the LPGA, in terms of that is the tournament. And that is the man writing the checks that keeps moving the tour forward. And that's what David Foster was for the LPGA, you know, 50 years ago, giving the LPGA a chance to compete for a purse that was twice that of the U.S. Women's Open, you know, just over $100,000. Jane Blaylock won $20,000 that year. And when you look back at who was in the field, you had Louise Suggs, you had Mickey Wright, Kathy Whitworth, Marilyn Smith. It was just Betsy Rawls. It's just an incredible field. It was only a 54-hole event that first year, and it included everyone who had won in the past 10 years, and it was just so much fun. And I think, you know, we're so excited about a $5 million purse up from 3.1 last year, huge investment from Chevron, excited to see network TV going forward, moving away from Augusta. There are a lot of positives to what's happening with the Chevron Championship, you know, this year and next year. But, you know, just so much history. When you look at the names in that field in 1972, the folks that have loved this golf course for years and years, and the cream rises to the top. You know, the top two players who have the most top fives at this event are Annika and Kari, and I think that says it all.
Going to be some goosebumps and tears a couple Sundays from now. Let's get an update on the Epson Tour, the road to the LPGA. Beth Ann, what can you tell us about Fatima Fernandez-Cano and just how impressive this win was for her?
Yeah, how about that sizzling 61 that tied the all-time record on the Epson Tour? This is a player from Spain who played at Troy, won 8 times at Troy, came to Alabama, the state of Alabama, sight unseen, and really thrived there. But when she came out initially on the Epson Tour, she nearly ran out of money because it's tough out there. And even, you know, not too long ago, the players were playing for a lot less. So she's now an Epson ambassador. She's actually not a rookie on tour. She has LPGA status, but last year, technically, because she's finished the last 2 years now in the top five, second on the Epson Tour money list. She's had LPGA status, but she only had 1 start last year. So really playing in Arizona this past week was just a chance to get the rust off again because she hadn't played an LPGA event since early February. So I can't think of a player outside of Jin Young Ko who comes into this week with more confidence, especially as what she's essentially not a rookie by name, but this will be her first full season on the LPGA, excuse me. And I'm really excited to see what she could do. She's a great ball striker, has plenty of length. And if she gets the putter going, you saw that 61.
Beth Ann, you recently wrote a piece at golfweek.com on a college player from UC Davis whose family is in Ukraine. What more can you tell us about this story?
You know, this 18-year-old El Rasportseva, just, I'll tell you, it was really an emotional interview for me sitting on the other side of the phone, just listening to all that she's been through. She's trying to start a GoFundMe page to help people like her parents who are on the ground in Ukraine. Her entire family has now moved. She's from Kyiv, but have moved to the western portion of Ukraine for safety. Her maternal grandparents live there, and her family, when the sirens go off, they're in her grandmother's book closet. They've taken all the books off the shelves, and that's where they're hiding in there. She has 2 younger sisters, and Elle's playing in a college event right now as we speak in California, and yet, you know, a world away, her whole entire family is fighting to stay alive. And I think the thing that struck me the most, there are so many things about this interview that really stood out, but we all know the sound that range balls make coming out of a machine at the golf course. And when this war broke out and she would hear those, she would go to get balls at the range and she would hear that sound. It reminded her of what she could hear on the phone when she was calling back home, talking to her mom, because, you know, that was the sound of her family under attack. And she felt like she was under attack in California, just hearing that. Same thing with seeing a sunset, the orange glow of a sunset in California, you know, reminding her of buildings on fire after, you know, a bomb hit, and feeling triggered that she was in that moment and that it was happening to her in real time, even though she was safe here in the United States. So she's just been through a lot that we can't even fathom, and she's trying to help in whatever way she can, whether that's spreading the message as she did, you know, talking to me for Golf Week, or trying to raise money through a GoFundMe account.
Beth Ann, your reporting on matters inside the ropes and outside has been remarkable over these last several months. Highly recommend our viewers to check out your work on Golf Week. Safe travels to California, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much.